Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
Step back in time with us to a galaxy far, far away as we return to the apprentice that became the master, but only if you watched all of the Clone Wars and maybe some of Rebels. Join us as we enjoy cosmic Ahsoka. This is your TV Jedi star, Patrick, and joining me this week and exploring the later live-action adventures of cartoon characters are my five friends and your crew of the Starship Ghost. To my far left, a murderous little robot with a desire to kill. It's Jabert jabbering away as Jamfram.
Hey!
That's you.
Wait, but Jamfram, yes, that's who I am. I play Jamfram. Oh.
Yes, sorry. You guys were like so ready. Jamfram and Andis for a real confused. Across the digital table from me, a teen Jedi all grown up and lost for most of the series, it's Miles, make him believe as redacted, and Raimi.
Good evening.
To my right, the big bad that is not Mads, but rather played by Lars Mikkelsen, and why it's Tyler talking as Praedir and Atros Varanus.
Hello there.
To my immediate left, a masterless Ronin walking the galaxy with two lightsabers. We got Drew dying to play Zilxthel, but will settle for Nack Feldspar.
That's Ahsoka Tano's catchphrase. It's rarely used, but
Across from him, a Mandalorian with attitude and the spray paint canes to prove it. It's none other than Rebecca rolling with Asher Sky and Alindra Valles.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
It's pretty good.
It's been a minute. Glad to get back.
Patrick, you're going to be lucky if any of us remember, one, how to play this game at all, and two, how to play these characters.
These characters that we haven't touched in several years.
Well, 1.5 years, I think, right? Has it been that long?
Has no meaning. Last week was several years ago, bruh. So
it's probably been 2 years, actually, because we're almost at 100 episodes of season 5. So.
That's wild. That's just wild.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
we were filming a podcast for several years, Shabert.
Oh, right.
Did
right.
No one tell you that we're recording these? Hey,
did we not do like the civilization expanding hex grid for? We haven't done that in like a year, have we?
Yes, because no one found it interesting.
That's true.
And yeah, and you found it so uninteresting in book 4. I brought back the season 3 characters for you to play. And now here in book 6 of Horizons of the Vast. Of course.
Wait, can we get to play as our season 3 characters?
Yes. You played a little bit.
Yeah,
Sprouse Marlowe. You fought against the soul of the swarm. And yeah, in a similar way, we got the
this
last
proof that Miles is blackout drunk for everything.
I mean, I couldn't tell you. That was like probably episode like 55 or something crazy ago.
Tyler's also not wrong.
Both be right. Everyone could both be right. No, but we're coming off of a break. I've been in Japan the last couple of weeks, so it has been a long IRL jump for everyone here to record this, and I was like, yeah, let's just go ahead, and since we're all going to be very disoriented anyway, we will start in on the level 20 Starfinder combat as soon as I get back. Yeah, and that is what we left off on, a bit of a cliffhanger for the Drift Rider crew. I think a couple weeks ago is when we described kind of the circumstances happening back on the planet. So I don't have a last time on this week, but if you all recall, finally, I think we've had almost all the characters here and there throughout season 5 of the Drift Rider crew. You know, it started with Nack and Raimi kind of sending the colony with a Tyrell core off into the vast distances of space,
and Nack's sister being a part of the original like semi-antagonistic presence.
She tried to become president, and you shut down her campaign. It would have been cool if I got to play as president of of the colony, but you're like, no, we're going to make Tyler do all of our talking for all the rest of this season. Tyler's going to make like a mute samurai character in the next. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm sorry, my vocal cords are severed.
I've already come up with several ideas for next season. All of them are characters so repugnant that no one will want me to be the face.
Repugnant.
Yeah, so that's what was happening throughout this story. We've had both Alindra come back to the planet. She was here on a expedition, got stuck on the moon. We've had Edros on kind of like a pilgrimage and come back into the story. And Andis is here with the founding team, hopefully fulfilling their final promised end, which is to reunite all 19 of the original A&D line of androids from Galarion. So now all of you together, and I think where we last left off, indeed, you are in Galarion World, the happiest little place on Galarion, which is a theme park dedicated to basically Pathfinder First Edition, the world of kind of like Avastan and around the inner sea. Yeah, Galarion World. It's so funny. I just last week was in Universal Studios Japan and got a good healthy dose of theme parkness. A lot of theme parkness. So we've had some adventure. You've visited here before with the Ridian crew and fought someone dressed as the Whispering Tyrant, I believe, the cultist of the Drela cultist who fought you here. But yeah, it seems like something was buried underneath the planet's surface. You got word the last time we saw the Drift Rider crew that there was a disturbance underground. And as you went to investigate, indeed, a massive construct kind of erupted from the ground, almost half earthquake, half volcanic eruption, as the ground split and it started coming for Galarion Land, I think is actually what this one is called. Galarion World is the original, so this is like the second theme park.
It's on the west.
And yeah, well, this is here on the what everyone still believes is the original Galarion, the OG Galarion. So they're like, let's build a theme park to the planet the way that it used to be.
It's a Ren Faire. It's a Ren Faire is what it is.
How excited were you guys to get back in to playing your season 1/season 4 characters who will be the only characters in Starfinder First Edition we take from level 1 to level 20?
Wish it was a simpler character, but I'm excited.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel intimidated. There are a lot of things to relearn with all of these characters.
Level 20 is so much stuff.
So much stuff.
I was like, the idea is exciting. The execution of, yeah, getting back to a character and pretending I know what I'm doing anymore is less enticing.
Well, to mitigate the fact that we have no last time on, you know, we're going to jump right into the action this week, but your characters will be starting with their own level 20 reroll that has refreshed since season 4. So you got that going for you. So it's almost like we're playing Starfinder 2E, but not really. You got one reroll to use. Yeah. And so this giant, colossal construct creature kind of raises out of the ground. I believe I described it last week, in real life and in the game, I think multiple weeks ago. But the last time we were with these characters as the robot from The Incredibles, just like a giant sphere with huge octopi-like spear-tipped tentacles.
How many?
At least 4.
10 tickles, you say?
Oh boy. I'll show you a general picture of the orb. It is, you know, the orb itself, like I said, colossal, like 35 foot wide. So it's like a walking building. The giant arms popping out of it seem to give it a much wider reach. In the Discord.
Oh, no. Discord, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Look.
I was
looking,
look, okay, look. That, yeah, it does look okay. Incredible.
It looks like our logo.
Hmm. It's like a little spinning planet of death.
It does look like our logo. That's Wild Mouse.
Death logo.
It won't hurt the crew of the Cosmic Crit.
Yeah, so as this thing raises up out of the ground, what do your characters have to say? We're going to start about 80, actually, probably give you a little bit more room. Well, we'll call it like 90 to 100 feet away from this beast where it raises out the ground in Galarion land. Maybe by the shackles, you see some pirate ships in the distance, and this thing is trundling, rolling, half like spearing the ground as it walks forward, kind of in your direction.
I feel like Remy would just be like, here we go again.
And this isn't one of your automatons, is it? Is this a real thing?
Not mine. What's that? I don't like it.
What is that? What is it?
The weebles wobble, but they don't fall down, Captain.
When's the next time we're actually going to get to fight something our size? Oh, my legs are getting too old for this tall stuff.
You know, Adras, we fought everything our size already. Oh, we gotta go bigger.
Oh my god, the last thing that was your size you guys fought was like the time demon or Barry inside the Starstone chamber, and that was like the hardest fight I feel like this crew has ever had. So no more things.
I don't know,
more size.
That one mountain fight in like season 2 was pretty rough for us.
Mountain eel fight?
Mountain
eel. No, the boss fight of that area, though.
It's so funny.
Because I think it was like everyone was down except Alindra.
Was that Tahoman? Is that Tahoman?
I think it was.
Oh, yeah. That sounds about right. In
the temple.
Yeah. The cold fight. It's so funny you remember that as being one of the harder ones. But I hope this is hard. I've scoured all of Starfinder to give you, I think, an impossible boss fight. But you guys are, I would say, the most legendary of Starfinder crews. Not just in our play universe, but of all podcasts, Starfinder podcast universe. So hopefully you can take this thing on. Let me take us to a map. Take us to a map that I've made.
Two conflicting statements. I made the most impossible boss. Hopefully you guys can do it.
Oh, well, if anyone can.
Say hopefully.
If anyone can. So we're using the map of Galarion world, and each of these squares is 10 feet. So it is very, very large. Probably still not large enough. Yeah, do you guys want to, before we even get started here, give you a chance to see if you can figure out what this thing is with, I think, engineering or mysticism?
Oh, I have skills because I'm not Jamfram anymore.
I was about to say,
what a waste.
I was about to say, we're looking for, I'm pretty sure, a number in the 40s here.
Oh, Adras and Raimi got 46.
Rolled me a 49.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, nice.
Ooh. Listeners, I said what a waste because I rolled a natural 20.
What? You have what, Drew?
I didn't get a 40, so I can assist.
Oh, yes, you have a little bonus here. Yeah, so I just did the math. It is indeed 40, DC 48 to figure out.
Well, assist me so I can do the
test. Burr, I feel like you have access to a wealth of Andis knowledge and history. And you just are able to pull up like a Rolodex information about an ancient construct and can share this information with the rest of the crew. Indeed, there are rumors, spacefaring rumors of, you know, robots maybe older than some of the stars in the universe that have been sighted on various planets, some of them buried beneath the Earth for millennia, that are, you know, Mass Effect styles, kind of planet slayers. They're known to come about and just lay waste to every living creature on the planet. You know, who originally made these? No one's to say. They are a construct known as a Rendelarn. Rendelarn?
Rendelarn.
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 I don't know what the origin of the name is, but Rend makes me think of, you know, their giant claws. They can probably throw stuff and just
probably do some rending. Yeah.
Patrick, mm-hmm. Can I ask a question about if I assist on a check, does that count as identifying the creature for me as a success, or does it not?
No, don't think so. I feel like you have to say you're going to assist before you roll. I want to give everyone a fair chance to figure this out. So, yeah, you know, this is a Rendelarn. I will also reveal to you as players, as well as your characters. This is, impossible construct. Super difficult to defeat. It is CR 25. It is the most difficult thing in Starfinder First Edition.
Good.
I don't think anyone has made any, like, gods or anything that are higher CR. What would you like to know about it, Jabert? What would you care? We've got several special abilities. We've got several offensive, defensive capabilities.
Ah, let's see. How about... let me look at this picture of the thing. Probably something... probably defensive to start off with.
Mm-hmm. Looks defensive.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't think this will... oh, no. This is going to affect everybody. Immunities... contract communities, it also says cold and fire, which seems like pretty basic ones. Cold and fire.
Good. No lasers, no freeze em ups.
And I'll give you this one too. Fast healing 25.
Oh, jeez.
Just
good heavens.
Do more than 25 damage per turn, and you guys are good.
I would, at this level, I would hope so.
Yeah,
but if we do 26 around,
no supernova boom booms, unless you can change its type. Yeah, pretty lame. Yeah.
Let's roll into the Anish turn order here. Oop, gotta clear everyone out. We still had our final fight from season 4 loaded up there.
Oh, I see where we are. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you're kind of in...
in Mwangi land.
Yeah, just north of Mwangi land.
Boop, 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 boop.
I am not looking forward to having to roll d20s again, fam. I'm not gonna lie. This is I'm gonna get pretty depressed pretty quick.
So yeah, all my weapons are either fire or cold. So I'm gonna be doing a lot of.
Oh, Patrick, can you size me down, please?
To normal size, yes.
Yeah, I'm a medium creature now.
Jabert, what kind of ranged weapon? Or not Jabert?
You can talk to me. Oh, I like to be talked to.
No, it's cool. It's cool.
My weapons don't really matter.
So it's only resistant to cold and fire?
Cold and fire. Immune, not resistant. Immune to cold and fire.
Okay, cool.
Okay. I have got its initiative rolled up, and I think maybe because you are able to identify it, you understand the severity of what you are facing, Andis 148. So you get to go first here. You rolled the highest in the initiative turn order.
Yeah.
19 on the dice. Way to go.
All right. Yeah, that's how I roll, you know? All right. So I think I start with 2 mutation points. Mm-hmm. I think that's how that works.
This is the character that made you... in season 5, be like, I'm playing a simple soldier.
who has no skills.
Not doing any talking to anyone.
Yeah, that's why I did it. All right, let's see. Enhanced mobility. Right, that's how I did my thing.
Oh, yeah, that's a fun spell.
Oops. All right, let's... okay, how far away is this guy?
From you, it looks like 80 feet as the crow flies.
No, doop, boop.
Oh, 110 feet. Is that right?
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I put a little bit more distance because this guy's beefy. He's a beefy. Give you a little bit of range action.
Yeah, I think I will probably use that range action. And I'm going to let me look up and see what my range is on this weapon. Weapon disruption. Oh, great. That's a 40-foot range. Wonderful. Never mind. Because I'll spend all my actions walking. Walkity walk, 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 walk. I forgot this is Starfinder, so you just gotta walk places. Walk, 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 walk.
You're walking down south towards Mwangiland through a lush but very fake cultivated rainforest. You see speakers buried behind bushes that are like playing bird noises and stuff as you go down. And then in the distance, there's just like clonk, 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 a giant robot rampaging, destroying this theme park. So that's all your actions, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just moving twice.
Forward. All right, this Rindalarn gonna take its turn. And because no one has done any fighting, no fighting thing, he's just gonna move as well. I think he can, oh, can fly. He's a flyer.
They fly now.
Yeah, you see its kind of arms like pull up and maybe like jet propulsion, anti-gravity propulsion kind of blasting out from the bottom of the sphere. Seems to be like pushing down on the trees nearby as it kind of takes off and heads. Looks like it's heading almost straight northeast as you guys watch it go. Let me just double check its movement here. Actually, you can make an attack of opportunity, Andis, as it goes, because it is flying kind of low enough along the trees. It goes 200 feet.
Okay. By the way, I'm going to, on my turn, I'm going to spend a resolve point to just gain an extra mutation point, just because, you know.
Yeah, use them resolve points, boy.
Yeah.
So what weapon does Andis have out?
I've got my, I would have, that's the adaptive strike, the thing. Mm-hmm. It's my hammer, the hammer that I make out of my body. I'll swing my hammer is what I do.
Go right ahead. We're rolling D20s here.
Okay, let's see. Make sure I got this thing right. Got it right? Oh, I got it right. Get it right. Get it tight. What did I roll? Middling. 43.
43 is a miss. Shrunk. You absolutely obliterate a tree right where its leg was. It pulls up very quickly and just kind of moves onward. Almost not taking notice of you. Very disrespectful as it does. But this like young tree planted in Galarian world is absolutely obliterated. That is its full turn as we go to Nackfeld's bar.
All right. Nack is going to move slightly closer because he has to and say, get him. It's about all I can do right now.
It's in get him like a free. Oh, you have a laser weapon. Is that right?
I have both laser weapons and cold weapons. That's all I've got.
Oh, how unfortunate.
Yep.
Raimi Quindor.
Patrick never didn't give us any hints about what we might be going up against. So
why would I?
Exactly.
Why would I, Drew?
Exactly.
Raimi is going to cast Chain Surge. Which can choose a primary target as well as up to 10 secondary targets within 30 feet. The primary target must... I mean, this thing is electronic, right?
It is a construct, yes.
Oh, all right. Be having some kind of equipment that uses electricity, the spell causes the primary target's electrical equipment to surge with deadly electricity, which arcs out to strike out secondary targets. There's none right now. But it deals 13d12 electricity damage to all targets chosen.
Chain Surge, is it?
Yes. You can roll Reflex to half of it.
I will not. I will ask you first to roll Spell Resistance. Roll me a d20.
Yeah.
We're looking for high double digits here.
Oh, you ain't going to get it.
High double digits. You're blasting this boy. Oh, we don't do that here. Oh, natural 20. Unfortunately, nothing for... Natural 20s on spell caster level checks, but this goes off. So reflex for half.
Mm-hmm.
There's no secondary target, so we're just talking about damage here. And it has no resistances to electricity. What is the DC for the spell? You got that handy? Do you?
100. And
I do not remember.
We'll figure it out, but I'll roll the D20 first, see how you're doing, because reflex is... Yeah. It's... best. And so okay. It has, at the very least, succeeded 18 on the dice.
Yeah, yeah, that definitely. So it takes half of 13
D10. D12.
12, sorry.
Yeah, for the primary target.
Still right. Not bad. Hey, as long as it's over 25 points on the board.
Yeah, so we're looking for a 52 at the minimum here.
Okay.
No pressure, but and no one else has been able to. No one else is going to be able to do any damage.
Hey, there we go. Nice roll. There we go.
Got a couple 12s in there. No ones in the dice. So 89 is what, 44 points of damage? Mm-hmm. Left. Boom. Okay. Yeah. Points on the board.
Bloody.
Yeah, actually, it just falls down. It says let's chain go. Surge weakness on its.
Who knew? To be continued.
Edros Varanus, Tyler, on to you.
All right. I'm going to move forward a little ways, drawing a weapon as I go, firing the weapon at the end of my movement. It's a ranged weapon.
Hey, what weapon you got? Why isn't it the Spear of Fates?
Oh, because I'm probably only going to get to shoot this thing once, so.
Didn't want it to be a one.
Please don't be a one.
Oh, man. Hold on.
Why'd I say that?
Take it back. Take it back.
Oh, my God.
We're back, baby. We're back, baby.
Can't make this up.
We're
natural one.
This so is the level. This is the season one character I remember and love. This is Dross runs forward as he's doing. He's pulling out his super HED stellar plasma missile launcher.
Oh no!
And he fires a massive rocket.
Oh boy!
And what the? We're taking a car.
Critical fail deck on CosmicCrit.com, yeah. Made by the fans, or do you want the official critical fail deck?
Hey, Paizo made this thing, so Paizo should decide what happens here.
Okay, I'm shuffling the cards. This might be the last critical fumble Edros ever rolls.
Tyler. Oh, absolutely so not. There's going to be another one in this episode.
Just savor even. It. Savor it. What kind of, this is just energy damage, right?
It is just energy damage, yes.
Okay, this is one of the few good ones, and because you moved forward, you're super lucky. This is called Dang It. Dang It with an exclamation mark. Reroll the attack against a randomly determined target within your line of sight that the weapon can target. Oh, I guess. No, I guess that could be anybody. Actually, never.
It could be anybody.
Yeah, I thought it was like only within like
direct line of sight for.
Yeah. You have good line of sight. Maybe everyone except Andis, who's moved beyond the trees. Yeah. Do you want to roll a D4 and?
Yeah.
A one. You're firing again at. Oh my God! It's another one. You're firing again at the Rendalarn. You have another chance to roll another natural.
I'm goated. I'm goaded. Watch me find the other side.
Oh hey.
No, I missed.
15.
It's a 37. Oh, wow.
37?
That's a miss for sure. Oh, wait. Did Andis missed on a 43?
Mm-hmm. It's got get him on it, though, now. So plus 3, Drew? Is that right?
I think it's just plus 2. Let me double check.
Okay, well, 39 is still gonna be a miss.
Well, you got a reroll if you want for this character, so take it right now.
Yeah, it's just plus 2.
Okay. Okay, I'll reroll it.
Yeah.
I'll use that. I want this to hit just for fun, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fun. That's right.
Oh, I got worse. All right.
Much worse, yes. 9 on the dice. Okay. That will take us to Alundra Valis. Bottom of the turn order, but imagine already energized seeing this thing take flight, coming at your friends.
Unfortunately, my solar weapon is equipped with a photon crystal. Mm-hmm. So that's not really working for me here.
Oops, all toasty. I really should have assumed he would introduce a monster that would be resistant to all of the stuff that our characters had.
I said introduced.
Okay, I am going to enter Photon Attunement, which at level 20 gives me 2 points in Photon.
Oh my god. Already off the bat.
And I am going to use, is it up in the air or is it on the ground?
It's hovering above the trees. I think you could reach it from the ground.
Okay.
Reach some of its appendages.
I would like to use Stellar Rush to charge at it.
Okay.
And in doing so, I also gain plus 2 EAC on my next turn. So.
Okay.
So let me go here and I'm going to strike at it with my stupid photon solar weapon.
Okay.
It does nothing.
Does it get an attack of opportunity? It's not.
No, because.
Footed, but.
Because I'm using Stellar Rush, right?
Oh, I don't remember Stellar Rush. I ain't got no memory of Stellar Rush. Does it not provoke?
Yeah, it's a charge with no penalties. I don't know. Maybe it does provoke. I don't know.
You said it so confidently. No. I'm using Stellar Rush. It's cool.
He's playing a lot of operatives that don't have to worry about attacks of opportunity when they move into stuff. But
I'm pretty sure it gets a deck of opportunity.
Okay.
Even if you do the bull rush and not an attack. So let's see this thing's massive lash weapon. See it in full effect. Ba-ba-pow. Ooh, 14 on the dice. What is your KAC?
KAC is 38.
Doesn't matter. It's going to auto hit here for some slashing damage. Some slashing.
Well, I do at least have DR against slashing, so there's that.
That's good.
Got that going for you.
Yeah, it's a bunch of D10s. Just like, it doesn't even seem to take notes. It just kind of whips one of these tentacles around, slashing at you for 122 damage. Is that right?
Yes. 102 after DR.
Well, look at that.
Yeah.
Yes. And are you attacking?
Yes. Or I tried to anyway. It's a 36 to hit.
Oh, no, you're not. No.
Yeah.
7 on the dice ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. This makes me want to double check your math, Tyler, on your attack modifier. Is that just because you were doing a ranged attack? It was much lower.
Yeah. I mean, my dex is only plus 4. So
you're not hitting this thing with a ranged weapon.
I'm not hitting this thing with a ranged weapon. Yeah.
Okay. So no reroll, Rebecca, right?
I mean, I could reroll. Just go ahead and burn it, right?
Yeah. It's totally up to you guys.
Yeah, let me go ahead and reroll. Why not?
Why not? I love it.
It's a 38.
Plus 2 for get 'em against EAC, right?
Yes.
Dude. Still a miss, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Gonna need a little better than a single digi on this dice, it looks like, to hit. That's gonna take us to turn 2 and back to Andis. It is flown by you. Seems like it didn't even notice you were there. What a jerk, Jabert. Right.
Well, let's see. So now I'm up at 5 of them fancy points. That's enough to get me. All right. Well, let's see. Am I able to charge to him? Or I can see there's a bunch of trees in the way.
I don't believe unless you have. Do you have some flight capability? Jetpack style?
No. I mean, let's see. Anyway, I specifically intended to build this character to be able to fly. So, like, I can't imagine I would have done this without having flight as an option here.
Pause the podcast and go back to listen to season 4 right now.
Oh, no, perfect flight. Yeah.
Okay. If you can fly over the treetops, it is so large, you can draw a straight line to it.
Okay, yeah.
From where you're at.
Okay, cool. So then I will indeed charge with my fly speed and... Okay.
No attack of opportunity coming your way because your teammate has already stolen it.
In fact, let's see, I've got a 10%. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I will fly like right up on it. Like, wah, sure. Like right up against this thing. And just checking to see, is there anything else I need to account for here? Or no, I think I'm good. All right. Let's beat him up.
Beat him up.
Natural 20 is what I rolled.
Those are pretty good, those critical hits you hear so much about.
They say they're not bad.
Contract immunities do not have a immunity to crits. It would be great if they did. Pretty sure they do not.
I deal an additional 10 damage on my first attack.
I don't know if it's doubled or not. I don't remember how Starfinder works.
Starcraft.
I almost said Starcraft. That's how much I don't know how this game works. I think it's a first. I think it's a real time strategy game.
We're gonna Zerg rush this thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I believe. Let's see. Any effect that requires a fortitude save, it is immune to. I think that's most of the severe wound ones, but, and it can't bleed as well. So yeah. I think you can potentially high gouge.
Can I knock it down?
I don't think it is immune to that. And let me just double check. It has a few movement abilities.
Oh, let's see.
Yeah. Yeah, the critical knockdown, I think you would have to... Do you have to pick between one of the critical effects? So,
yeah.
First of all, let me pull a card for you, my friend. And
let's do that.
Thank a Patreon supporter for supporting us on Patreon. We are wrapping up right now on Patreon the Zoo Crew, a short old adventure where you can listen to Jabert and I play Agents of Edgewatch with some of our Bostonian, north of Bostonian friends. I think the last episodes are coming out July and maybe August. And then we're going to start in on the Patreon being ahead of the main feed with our Starfinder 2E playtest stuff.
Nice.
I'm very excited about it. We've already recorded a few of those and we're going to continue playing some of those before. I just got the notification in my email that I'm about to get charged for the Starfinder 2nd Edition core rulebook, which I'm very excited about.
Nice.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So let's give a Patreon shout out to someone at the flanking buddies and above level. I just saw it and it went away. Alexander W., thank you so much.
Alexander, thank you.
For the last year, we appreciate it. This crit goes out to you. Let me pull this card real quick for you, Jabert.
Okay.
Got so many cards on my desk now. Doing these back to back to back. And this could be better. You know, you're doing mostly your all kinetic damage, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay. The card is Shrapnel by the Bone. 20% chance of being stunned each round for 2d6 rounds. Not going to do anything to this. It doesn't have any weapons, so extreme slashing. This one does not have any effect, so I would go with the weapon. You have severe wound and or knockdown. I think either of them will have somewhat of an effect, but most of the severe wound stuff. I think there's only one thing. No, there's a couple things. There's a eye, which I believe you guys have some.
Yeah, wait. Let me look at the picture of this thing. Does that have one eye?
Some history of knocking eyes out. And you can knock off an arm. It has four of those, it looks like. So,
yeah, it's got a bunch.
That is its weapon. But that, once again, that's only like a 1 in 5 chance to get one of those. The other ones that are fortitude based won't really have an effect. So,
yeah, I guess that's not going to, I guess neither one of those is really going to have an advantage. An effect, like if I knock it down, like
if you knocked down off four of its arms, I think Mr. Incredible did that and it worked okay. I haven't seen the Incredibles for a while.
So if I get three more, criticals and then happen three to more chop off three more arms,
and you just so totally happen, yeah,
it's gonna happen. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this combat's gonna be like 8 episodes long, so probably.
I think even though it's immune to fortitude, I will still do the evolution drain effect.
Okay, what is that?
So normally you would say you give it a fortitude save, DC 29. On a success, I get a mutation point. Mm-hmm. On a fail, I get 1d3 mutation points, and the target's sickened for the same number of rounds. And then, my evolution drinker points, means that it goes up to 1d3. Wait,
okay.
On a successful. Yeah. So
let me roll that fortitude save. Another 18 for save. So a success.
All right. So 1d3 for me.
Mm-hmm.
I won. That's okay. I'll take it. I'll take one. All right. Do that.
And looks like 220 damage. No.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. 186 points of bludgeoning damage.
Right. 186, because you need 10 more. That seems pretty good.
That's not bad. It's not bad. It's
pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty good.
You do see on its turn some of this damage immediately repair itself as it looks like nanites flood over the wounds, maybe some of the electrical damage that Raimi did. It heals up there. On its turn, Alindra Vallis, Andis, you can make an attack of opportunity because it's going to move.
I will.
Ooh, we got some good hits here, it looks like. Both are against... No, Rebecca, you're against EAC, right?
Yes.
Both are hits. We've got 45, 16 on the dice. Both 16s on the dice, so two hits. Maybe this combat's not going to be as long as y'all thought it was going to be.
So that's actually 91 damage from Alindra because of the
photon. Stop provoking. Shaman. Right, but some of it's fire, right?
That's true. Half of it is fire. Half of it is slashing.
Oh, no.
Okay, so... Not half.
Because only 6d6 of it is fire. 12d6 of it is slashing.
Well, just so happens you rolled...
Most of your ones are in the back half. Yeah, those were the fire ones. Yeah. You can tell because they're red.
Yeah, exactly.
How 66 is fire and 66 is slashing? Is that what you're saying?
12d6 is slashing. 66 is fire.
But you don't have...
Yeah, it doesn't look like the fire macro fire.
I think it's that 21 on the end doesn't count.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's for the Solarian crystal.
Okay. Is that 60 to 7 then total?
It's just minus 21.
Okay.
Plus 3.
So 70. Plus 3.
Okay. Oh boy. Oh, the math on this is going to hurt my brain because it doesn't take all of this damage as it moves kind of like upward, but it's also taking, is this just a straight hundo from Andis?
Well, it depends on when the once per round means. So if I deal that damage on my turn, does it not restart until the start of my next turn?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, then yeah, then just 100. Okay. I mean, just 100 damage. Well, just 100.
It seems this thing has like a, not a force field, but like an energy field around it as it is moving. Mm-hmm. So it is taking only about half of this damage. But
goodness gracious.
It's still a lot. Plus,
I hope so.
50. I mean, it's not bloodied yet, but it is. It kind of raises up in the air about, I think, 50 feet. Let me just double check what its range is here. Oh, no, it's actually not that much. It has to move kind of like around, I think, then. So it's going to keep moving kind of around this little fake mountain range as it raises up a bit. And actually, I think it's going to go here. 10, 20. And it, from its... kind of laser eye in the middle of this giant sphere is going to send out a giant beam weapon. Just boom.
Oh, I should have knocked out its eye. Oh no.
A straight line going for Alindra Vallis, Dross Varonis, and Knack. Sweet, sweet Knack Feldspar.
Knackery.
Oh no, it's a much larger line. I can go up. So it's gonna fly up. Here it'll be up about 30 feet at the end of its movement because it can go like 10 feet over or 20 feet this way. No, only about 20 feet up. I keep forgetting these boxes are 10 feet
each.
Yeah, but okay, this is a line of damage and it's going to just double check I understand how this works. I think this works like a line attack. Yeah, so I make a single attack roll compared to the armor classes of all the creatures in the line, rolling damage only once. So first up is going to be Alindra. So let me guess I can potentially roll a one here. I roll the two. Two is still going to do. Rebecca, your AC is 38.
AAC?
EAC.
EAC is 37.
Let me just double check. No negatives on attacking this. Okay, so that is a hit. Edros, what is your EAC?
40.
Okay, so 40. I think it's, believe it or not, still going to be a hit. And Nackfeldspar, I imagine you have less. So I think we're hitting on all, rolling on all cylinders, hitting on all cylinders here. Mm-hmm. And this is a disintegration ray. So there's both acid and sonic damage. If you have any resistances to those. And it looks like 102 damage total. So that's 51 acid, 51 sonic. It's just boom, this massive beam blast out, destroying some trees in front of it, and then just cutting a huge path down the middle of the park. Try to draw it.
Did you say 102?
102 toto, yes.
But you didn't get me, right?
That is correct.
Okay. I thought you said, I just want to make sure.
I'll get you next time. Don't you worry, Mike.
It's cool, man.
It's cool.
I was just trying to make sure that I wasn't taking damage when I didn't need to.
So you saw its HP heal up a little bit, but to take those attacks of opportunity. Nackfeldspar, we are back to you.
Nack calls out on the comms, hey, anybody got any non-fire or ice weapons? Got an extra one? I can make use of it. Just let me know.
I got you, boo.
What are you rocking, Miles? What's Raimi?
I've got a few decent weapons, but if he wants to borrow my X-Gen gun Paragon, he is more than welcome to.
Yeah. Do you have that thing where you can just like become proficient in like something that your friend is?
For 10 rounds, yes.
Yeah. Pretty dope. Pretty.
Well, if he's got that, I also have a heavy weapon you might want to use.
You just got to get it to me and drop it off, fam. Just drop it off.
Oh, in the line of fire? No. You can come to me.
Well, Nick, you can spend your turn moving over to him and grabbing it.
Yeah, but I feel like my turn should be spent to helping other people do damage.
And my turn should be wasted helping him, is what he's saying.
Well, I will say, if you guys both
use... the podcast dads are bickering again, guys.
If you both use a move action, one can pull the weapon out and one can grab it, and then you can both do a standard. And you're not too far away. You're less than 10 feet, so... If that's what you want to do, are you keeping get him up, Drew?
Well, I can't. I have to move forward to keep get him up. So because this is get him is 60 feet. So I have to move forward to keep get him up.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
So if Raimi, if you could meet me here. Oh, can't see that. Because if you could meet me.
Wait, can I just teleport him the weapon?
I don't know. Can you?
I mean, I think I technically can, but...
Pretty sure you have short range teleportation at the very least.
Yeah, I do.
For your move.
Because that should give me enough space to move out of the line of fire.
Okay. And
still be able to say, get him. And unfortunately, that's all I can do because I had to move and use
get. Well, Raimi is immediately after you, so Miles.
Yeah.
Popping off a gun.
Yes, I will pop a gun over to Nack. So you'll get the... As I said earlier, the X-Gen gun Paragon with a Ghost Killer Fusion, because I was traumatized early in this game and I never buy a gun without one ever again.
What do you want to do with your standard action?
I'm going to cast a spell.
Okay.
Disintegration.
Classic. I used Disintegrate Ray on my turn.
I know you did.
Go ahead.
It's only fair.
Well, actually, I don't even know if this would... affect it. Disintegration.
It's not fire.
Fortitude save.
Oh yeah, it requires a fortitude save. I believe.
For partial.
Right. But they're immune to a lot of things that require fortitude saves.
If it's just damage, I don't think it would be immune then. But go ahead and make me the spell caster level check, the spell resistance check first, because this is crazy high spell resistance. Dude,
it is. It's stupid. I hate it.
But you rolled 20 last time. So.
Yeah, that's why I'm not going to get it this time. I know. I know how my life works, and it's not great.
All right. D20 roll.
Oops, misspelled roll.
Oh, 18 will do.
Oh, Miles crushing these spell resistance checks.
Miles should be a melee character.
I haven't rolled this well like in so long.
I don't even know how to spell disintegrate, but this is how much damage?
14 d20.
Disintegrate. And it is both acid. No, is it just acid damage? Oh, you have to make an EAC attack as well.
Oh boy, you can add your key ability score bonus instead of your dexterity modifier.
Yeah,
which for me would be an additional plus 2. All right, so just shoot one of my ranged weapons, I guess.
Yeah, whatever you want to do for a macro here, we can change the damage up.
Yeah,
blast them.
Well,
crazy how many things have to go right.
I know.
Yeah. You're going to spend your point?
Yep.
Does this include the plus 2?
Oh, no, it doesn't. It's 40.
Plus 26, yeah, 40. So 40. Against EAC, that is going to be a hit with get 'em.
Hey!
All right, now for my 42 save.
Jesus Christ.
For partial, it has succeeded at the fortitude save for partial. So is 4d20?
Yes.
On that?
14d20.
4d20 on the save, though. So just 4. That's 41,
a big save.
41 points of damage going up on the board.
There we go.
Better than nothing.
Still not bloodied as we go to Edra's Furanus.
Rules question.
Yeah.
It's up in the sky. Yeah. I have a jetpack, but the jetpack speed listed is 30 feet. But can I charge with a jetpack? Is that
I believe
legal?
You can. Oh, yeah.
You can do anything you want.
Yeah, man. Go right ahead.
All
right. Go crazy. Go nuts.
So that would double it to 60. Is that enough to get me where I need to go?
Just to the bottom of its square, yes. Because you're about 40 feet away. And it's about 20 feet up in the air. So I'm doing that math on the fly in my head. I'm finding for the hypotenuse. And you're just, I think that's like 50 something. Okay. So
cool. We're going to crit fish here because we're going to use the charge attack feature of the Blitz fighting style, which allows me to substitute a melee attack at the end of this charge. I don't take any of the penalties and I get to make 2 attacks instead of 1, but I'm going to take a bunch of penalties to do this, but I don't really care because I'm really just looking for 20s here.
You got the natural get 'em going on. It will provoke an attack of opportunity, correct? Or does your charge not? I forget for soldiers.
It says you can make the charge without the penalties, but I don't think that includes.
You would think getting blasted in the head is a penalty, but no.
As a penalty, yeah, but yeah. No,
I think it's just the AC penalty.
Yeah.
All right. Natural 2 on
still
the
a hit.
Attack.
Still a hit.
Well, your KAC is what?
My KAC 44.
Natural 2 is not a hit.
What?
Because you don't take penalties to your AC for charging,
AC
right?
For charging, so, yeah.
Bingo, bango. Hey, look, a Blitz soldier actually blitzed into combat. And its giant arm comes down like where you were standing or flying, I guess, a moment before. And it's like right next to Alindra Vallis, a giant like a metal tree trunk sprouts out of the ground. But yeah, you're able to get up to it and make a couple of attacks.
All right, yeah, as Edras is flying up, you see him pull out these 2 twin blades.
Oh boy.
Swink! And now I scroll way, way down to wherever the heck this macro is.
You feel the Spear of Fates pulsating on your back, like, use me.
Wait your turn.
Use me, Edras.
41, that does not include get 'em.
That is AC, so. A miss. Yeah. Oh no.
That's why I say we'd be. Oh, I said we'd be crit. Crit.
That was an 18.
Reason. Yeah. Well, I'm taking a minus 5.
Yeah.
That's what we wanted, though.
Crit
that's
fish.
What we wanted.
You fished that crit, boy.
That's why we go fishing.
Oh yeah! Call me Billy Bass, cause I'll be reeling them in.
Natural 20. Natural. Natty.
Yeah.
Natty 20.
A critical shout out to another Patreon supporter.
Oh boy, so many good friends over the years. I feel like I want, maybe do a classic. Someone that's been with us for some of them. Let's talk to our good friend Doge, Double Doge, in the Discord, in the podcast family. Thank you so much, sir. We appreciate you. We like talking to you over on Discord. I feel like it's right. You're pretty on the level with Doge here. Yeah, Edras Furanus crit. Maybe the last Edras Furanus crit ever. 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 God, it's a lot of damage too. My goodness.
234.
Whoa. Well, guess what, Tyler? It's bloody now. It's bloody and it doesn't like that at all.
So these twinned swords, listeners, I spent 1.5 million credits on these swords.
Money well spent.
Yeah. So there you go.
Okay. Yes, it is bloodied, and we are going on to Alindra Vallis.
So I had a plan, but I don't think I have the action economy for it. I don't know. I don't know what to do. Okay, let me ask you this. Could I... It takes a standard action to install a crystal and a standard action to remove a crystal. So swapping out my crystal would take two turns. Is that what that means?
Sounds like it, but seems like something you should be able to do faster in Starfinder Second Edition. But
you'd probably think. Can.
Yeah, it's probably like a two action. I hope it's not like a two action thing.
All right. Well, given the stupid action economy of this stupid game, I am going to instead.
How dare you, Rebecca? Who do you think you are? How about if you succeed at an athletics check, you can do them both as a standard action.
Oh, really?
What a benevolent GM.
Yeah.
You know what, Patrick? For that, you get a hero point.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yes. So, I mean, you're toggling between these crystals, but you're having to forcefully shunt one out as you put one in at the same time.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine.
There's a massive burst of energy going from fire that burns a ring around Alindra Vallis to what's this other crystal?
A muon crystal.
Hmm.
Does not do fire damage, so...
Yes, just energy? No, just...
I think it's just standard, bludgeon. Whatever, yeah. I guess is staggering or rushing. Like, the rest of my weapon is, but... Okay, well, with that, so I also have... It seems like a waste. I have a new Zenith revelation that allows me to take a full attack as a standard action. Obviously, I've already done that. I've already taken a standard action, so I don't have that to do, but... It says, in addition, you and up to six allies within 30 feet are affected by haste. So I could give everyone haste, at least within 30 feet of me.
I think that would be Andis and Edros.
Yeah. Would that be worthwhile?
I think so. This thing is
helpful.
This thing has really fast movement. So like being able to keep up with it would be pretty solid.
Okay. I will say also that not only is it haste, but also... the extra speed from the haste effect increases to 60 feet. So you can go up to 60 feet in addition to just having haste. So that will affect the two of you and myself. Sorry, Nak and Raimi, you're too far away.
It's okay.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I think that is my turn, and I am now unattuned and done.
Andis 148, as you get ready to blast off against this thing, maybe run up in it in the air, you see it kind of turn its attention northeast. And I imagine you're flying up, right, Jabert?
Northeast would be towards Absalom Island. Oh no!
But yeah, as you get up there and look in the distance, you see further on, perhaps its true goal, you see the massive necropositrine shield all over Last Wall Land, what seems to be its final goal. It seemed to be moving in that direction. You see giant letters appearing over the necropositrine shield that is protecting everyone from Galarion Land. It says to be continued there. We're only on turn like three, but we're done with this.
It was just
episode.
Starting to get good, man.
I know. I got to retool this thing. You guys are too strong. Like I said,
I got to add some hit points.
Oh my God. It says, it has
did
so
I say
many
fast healing 25? I meant fast healing 125.
If it has so many, you don't need to retool anything.
Honestly, fast healing 25 is like so baby, but it has a crazy spell resistance, and you know, immunity to cold and fire is pretty intense.
Yeah, that sucks itself. For a lot.
Thanks
of
for that.
Indeed.
I mean, it's very possible we'll come back next week and you'll absolutely destroy this thing. We will have a very short denouement for the Drift
one way or the other.
But yeah, that's going to do it for this week. I'm having a blast with these season one characters again. It's so fun.
I agree.
We will get back to them next week. Had some crit fails, some crit hits. It's all good. And like I said, I think I explained a little bit in various things on the Patreon. We're not really going to revisit these characters. This is the literal last hurrah of the Drift Rider crew. So enjoy it while you can.
Until I remake a character.
I'm Raimi's twin brother. Also Raimi. Just call me Raimi. Samey. Yeah, that's going to do it, guys. Thanks for playing with me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
Listeners, thanks for listening. We will catch you on the next week's episode of Cosmic Crit. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Farewell.
Good night.
Pizza, pizza.
Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.